Reading today from Merging with Shiva, lesson 327, Expanded Consciousness. The struggle with the mind is an easy struggle if you are constantly vigilant, all of the time, doing always what you know you should do, not allowing the mind to become instinctive, not excusing the mind when it does become instinctive, not allowing the mind to justify, rationalize, excuse, become combative, but making the mind always remain poised like a hummingbird over a flower so that you begin to live in the eternal now, constantly, permanently. And then the within becomes natural to you, not something you hear about, study about, talk about, sing about, for you become open, awakened within. Gurudev is showing us what's needed to be able to stay in higher consciousness all the time. And it's not focusing on experiencing higher consciousness, it's focusing on controlling the instinctive mind and the intellectual mind so that we can remain poised like a hummingbird over a flower. In other words, if we allow the mind to participate in activities such as Gurudeva has listed, what happens? We become agitated. Our external mind is agitated. We're disturbed. And if we're disturbed, we're not like the hummingbird over the flower, definitely. But we have to learn to live in such a way that we avoid these type of activities which cause disturbance and basically keep us externalized. So disturbance means externalized. Disturbance comes from unwise actions. Very nicely said. Contemplation is man's power over his mind as he begins to go within himself. Concentration is man's power over his mind as he goes through life working out life's problems. And meditation is man's wisdom. So this is touching on the five steps to enlightenment that Gurudeva gives us in English in many of his older writings. Tension, concentration, meditation, contemplation, and self-realization. The example on attention that always stuck with me was reading a book. If you read a book and are really focused on it, it doesn't count as concentration. It only counts as attention. Because somebody else did all the work. They wrote it. And you're managing to pay attention to it. But you're not generating thoughts about it. You're just paying attention to someone else's thoughts. So attention is defined as focusing of the mental powers upon an object or a particular subject. And then concentration, of course, is thinking about a subject without getting distracted. And life offers us many opportunities to practice concentration. So that's one of the ways we can integrate our spiritual practices with our daily tasks is in what we're doing, keep the mind focused on it, concentrate on it. So meditation, in this sense, is the state of mind. It's not the overall practice. Meditation is man's wisdom. Gurudeva describes that as, meditation describes a quiet, alert, powerful, concentrated state wherein new knowledge and insights are awakened from within as awareness focuses one-pointedly on an object or specific line of thought. So that's the idea of saying meditation is man's wisdom. It means we're discovering something new, having a new insight. And contemplation, of course, is getting absorbed in a oneness with the within. And self-realization, of course, is experiencing transcendental parashiva. Oh, nice, simple English words to remember: attention, concentration, meditation, contemplation, and self-realization. Let's expand our consciousness once again and see if we can become conscious of the entire universe all in one instant. Where is that universe? It is very real to you in that instant, but where is it? You might look above and say it's out there, but where is out there? Where do you conceive above? You might say the sun is way up in the sky, so is the moon, but where is the focal point of your conception? How do you create the sun and how do you create the moon? You might say the sound of a waterfall is 20 feet away from you. Where is that sound created? Where do you conceive it? Only to the lower realms of the mind is the sun so many million miles away, or the waterfall so many feet from where you are sitting right now. Expand your consciousness and you begin to know this truth. Do all the petty little things that you can do if you give away to the negative states of mind and you bind yourself to the lie and live in the lie, like an animal would live in a cage. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Therefore, freedom does not come through what you have remembered, how well you can rationalize, how well you can talk yourself into and out of situations, how well you can excuse negative happenings. The knowing state of consciousness in which you can know the truth only comes when you can control the lower state of mind and live a godlike life each day, and then your consciousness does expand automatically. So it's repeating the same idea that was at the beginning. We need to focus on controlling the lower states of mind. Your daily life becomes a life of inspiration, and in your expanded consciousness you begin to know the truth. And the knowing of the truth sets you free from the lower state of mind, which you then realize is the lie, the eternal lie. The point of conception is the apex of creation. If you haven't thought about that statement for a while, let me remind you. I looked it up in our lexicon. So apex in the normal sense means highest point, peak, or summit. Apex of creation, Gurudeva means the highest or initial movement in the mind that will eventually manifest a creation. The quantum level of manifestation. So we can look at that in terms of two different situations. Perhaps it's easiest to think of the one where it's something we're creating. When we're creating something new, that initial moment of conceptualizing it is the apex of creation. And then we have to develop that, and we bring it kind of out or down into details and more concrete ideas. We develop the idea, but the moment we conceived it, that's the apex of creation. Then we can look at it in terms of the cosmos or the tattvas, And that's what this will look at. So we have to look at the first tattva, Shiva tattva. Auspiciousness of two parts. The higher part is Parashakti, from which emerges primal sound, nada, more precisely paranada, soundless sound. Though most often referred to as sound, nada is more mystically known as movement, the first impulse. So impulse is the word we want, arising from perfect quiescence, the first thing out of the motionless self. This is Shiva's second perception, Parashakti, superconsciousness, the mind of God. So it's interesting in Chafe, which is the obscure part of the Shum Chafe language, Gurudeva has given us dimensions beyond the first seven, and they relate to the tattvas, or they relate to this same idea. So it uses the word impulse. So the chafe dimensions, the 14th dimension is called impulse, the first initial movement, which we were just looking at in the tattva, same thing. Impulse turns into pulse, which turns into creation, which turns into manifestation. So that's the 14th, 13th, 12th, and 11th dimensions. So I thought I'd just read a couple of words on that. 14th dimension in Chafe is called Lam Lamph, is the impulse of creation and the unmanifest manifest. Then Gurudeva gets poetic, second part of this. Here the gong sounds the nada and the tiny drum marks the rhythm of the universe. Then we get to 13th dimension, Lam Lamph, is the pulse. So first impulse, then pulse. The pulse of the universe, ever manifesting, preserving, and absorbing. It is here that the sweet music of the bells resides. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.